Well, desire and interest in your prayers and in your attention this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about reasonable service. And I would like to take that a step further today. We tried to focus on what it meant to be reasonable and what it means to other people to be reasonable. You and I all are, in our humanity, we have some different perspectives of what reasonable is. the things that seem to be perfectly reasonable to me may not be personally reasonable to you. And I'm not talking about spiritual things there. I'm talking about the things that about our everyday life. Maybe it's the way we make decisions, and maybe it's the way that we approach problems. It might be what's perfectly reasonable to have for lunch. My wife likes curry. Y'all know what curry is? Red curry, and I don't know what other kind of curries they got, but I haven't really met curry that I really like. So if you want to talk about what's reasonable for lunch today, curry wouldn't be on my menu. But it may be for you, and I'll let you eat a curry if it's reasonable to you. So we're reading, our text is in Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we tried to conclude the message last Sunday with the thought that the Apostle Paul felt that presenting your body a living sacrifice to the Lord in your life was reasonable. And I agree with that. I feel like it's reasonable for us to live a sacrificial life for the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't see after our everyday needs. It doesn't mean that we don't have a home. It doesn't mean we don't get married. It doesn't mean that we don't care for our children and all of those normal everyday things. But there is a level of, let me back up and say it this way. There's been those that have interpreted reasonable service and sacrificial living to the Lord in an extreme fashion that keeps them from fulfilling God's purpose for mankind. You remember what God's purpose was? He intended for us to have dominion over the earth. He meant for us to be fruitful and multiply. He meant for us, Jeremiah told those that were carried off in captive to build houses, plant gardens, go ahead and give your daughters and sons in marriage, and you live life, a normal life. That's what Jeremiah's advice was. It still is. It's still what God wants us to do. He wants us to live a normal life. He wants us to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to Him. That's a sacrificial life for the Lord. So this verse here says that, he says, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So, there's a baseline of what's considered reasonable. Baseline would mean what is the minimum expectations. We have a minimum baseline that we would expect for marriage. We won't spend a lot of time for that. Or an occupation. For friends. To maintain a friendship, there has to be a baseline, a minimal amount of interaction. Church involvement, there's a reasonable minimal amount. Personal devotions, there's a reasonable thing there. But we all have a baseline for all of those things in our life. And we've observed what happens when someone does the bare minimum in one area of their life and becomes overly exorbitant in another area. We'd say that's not reasonable. It's not reasonable for me to, in my line of work, to never buy any tools and only borrow from the others that I work with and spend any extra money that I have for recreational purposes. Like, I've got, since this is deer season, we'll just pick on that. I've got all of the hunting gear from those apparatuses that tell me how far away the deer is to a side-by-side to a trailer to haul my side-by-side, and all of the camo gear and the orange, and I've got a rifle that maybe I spent a year's wages on with a rifle and a scope to hunt a deer that is going to cost me a couple hundred dollars or more to get processed to put in my freezer. And, you know, but you turn around and find out that maybe that person won't buy anything that'll help them in their trade in life. And my perspective would be that's not reasonable. It's just completely, I would call it crazy. I just would. Now, there may be somebody out here that would say, you're the one that's unreasonable, and I'm the one that's right, because it makes perfect sense to spend every nickel I can get on hunting gear, because deer hunting is the most important thing in life. We've seen those kind of things to some extent in others. Probably can't see it in ourselves, but we've seen it in others. And we might label those exorbitant things as unreasonable. So I want us to think about this morning what it means to reasonably give ourselves to the Lord. Your free will is something that's involved. There's no way to police this. It's someone's free will that chooses to spend their resources for hunting gear, for equipment to do something else that they find a lot of satisfaction or gratification out of. It's their choice to do that, and it's our choice to live a life that is a reasonable service to the Lord. So a couple of scriptures in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, just want to remind us of our ability to choose to sacrifice for the Lord or not. It says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." If there be first a willing mind, we have to be willing to sacrifice for the Lord. And another verse is in Isaiah 1 and 19. We turn and read there. He says something about being willing. He says in verse 19, chapter 1, he says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." If, it's conditional, if you be willing, if you're willing. Paul said, I beseech you, I'm entreating you, I'm trying to sell you on the idea. You know, that's what I do here with the help of the Lord every Sunday. Is I'm trying to sell you on an idea that living for God is better than not living for the Lord. But it's up to you, ultimately, whether you decide to do that or not. And what I want to try to do when I'm here and standing in this place with the help of the Lord is to give you something that, like Paul did, that's reasonable, not so much reasonable to the flesh, but it's reasonable to the perspective of being pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. So, it's your will that's going to have to make the determining factor whether you do it or not. It's your will that was the determining factor of whether you came here this morning or not. If you decide, if we decide to that living a sacrificial life for God is unreasonable, I'll tell you, we'll become somewhat disoriented in life, right and wrong. We'll become arbitrary things that change with circumstances and conditions. What's right and what's wrong? If we don't have if we're not living a life sacrificed for God, our ability to determine right from wrong is going to be an arbitrary thing. Keep that in mind. The Apostle Paul was entreating them to exercise their will and to make a choice that he said was reasonable. He's painting a picture that it was reasonable to live an everyday life of sacrifice to God. So I want to go back and read this verse again. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12 and 1, by the mercies of God, that's the condition that he's entreating them. His condition is it's only by the mercies of God that he's able to speak to them. It's only by the mercies of God that I'm able to speak to you and that the Lord could potentially anoint the words to really speak to your heart. He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, up until today, maybe your perspective of a sacrifice is something that was dead. It wasn't alive anymore. All the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament were animals that met the requirements that God had for sacrificed animals, and their lives were taken, their blood was poured out, was sprinkled, was their flesh was consumed by fire, their flesh was dedicated to God's cause and therefore was actually maybe edible by the priest and the Levites. But he says here, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Something a little bit different. A living sacrifice. Not talking about living in a painful situation where the heat is turned up and you're slowly being cooked. That's not what it's talking about. Oh, this old self must die, but I want you to think about what it means to be a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that portrayed the attributes of God in Christ and the Holy Spirit to the world around us. That's what he wants. A sacrificial life is one that's lived for a purpose other than a selfish life. We all have and will make sacrifices for friends, for family, occupations. You make a sacrifice of your efforts and your time to make things comfortable for your spouse, maybe. Maybe you fix something special that you really don't like. Maybe you do something special for them that you really don't feel like is necessary. And if you don't, you're selfish. If we don't live a life that's sacrificial for our families and our friends, we're selfish, and we'll be labeled that. Our families will label us selfish. Our friends will say, they'll tell others anyway that we're selfish, and then before long they won't be our friends anymore. But when we do for others, when we sacrifice what I want for somebody else's benefit, that's a sacrifice. And it's a living sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice to prepare a meal. I know I've heard my wife say she worked a long time to prepare a meal and get everything coming off at the same time. You know, not everything cooks the same rate. So, you know, you got to know when to put in the meat and the taters and all of that stuff and when to make the gravy and all of those kind of things. You put all that combination together and maybe you've worked for 2 hours or 3 hours on making this meal that's delicious, and the guys come in and sit down and in 10 minutes they've ate till they're stuffed and they may have said thank you and they're done. And now you got to clean up all that mess. It's a living sacrifice. You know, there's a lot of things in life that it seems like you put a lot of effort into and people can absorb in a short amount of time, and maybe they don't eat it all, and maybe they don't take a sum of everything like that meal. Maybe they pass on the carrots and they just eat the mashed potatoes. Lord, help us to know how to live a sacrificial life for God. Did you know that just as we learn to find fulfillment in making sacrifices for those that we love, we can find pleasure in our service to God? Have you, those of you that have prepared a meal and saw it disappear in a short amount of time or a big dent taken out of it, and you're left with dirty dishes and a messy kitchen? We were at Rodney and Jessica's last night, and I didn't wash any dishes when I left, but I ate their food. I left them with things to clean up and straighten up. The food was good, and I told her that. Just as you can find pleasure in fixing for them, you can find pleasure and gratification and satisfaction in living a life that's sacrificial for the Lord. And I believe it's sensible, and it's a rewarding way to live life. And I believe the Apostle Paul was right. I believe that it's up to you and I to take it and to believe it as well. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." And he didn't stop there. He said, "Which is your reasonable service?" What are we getting in exchange? eternity with God. Escape from eternal punishment. You think about how much effort that God put into providing that for us. Not effort like us as humans think, but it's been His dream. It's been His objective. He created mankind in His image. Give them the ability to think and to be rational. Give them the privilege of choosing to love Him back. And if God has fingernails, there's been many times that He's bit His fingernails over mankind. And the Apostle Paul may have bit his fingernails before and after he said this and wrote this. But he said, I'm beseeching, I'm asking you to do this voluntarily. I can't police it. I can't and I don't want to come along and police you that's here this morning in your individual lives. I want you to want it. I want you to desire it. I want you to exercise your will. Apostle Paul says, I'm beseeching you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It makes sense. It made sense to the Apostle Paul. It makes sense to me today. So what does it mean to be holy and acceptable? Holy and acceptable is like two phrases that's, it's like painting with a big wide paintbrush. I've said that several times recently, and maybe the last year or so, but it really is. What does it mean to be holy? I'll tell you that holy is hard for us to really define with our words and our understanding. In Matthew 28 and 4, we find the setting where Jesus was in the tomb and there was an angel came down from the presence of God and rolled back that stone so that Jesus could come out of that tomb. Do you remember what happened? I'll read you a verse, 28 and 4. Matthew says, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. There was something about the presence of God, the holiness of God, that caused those guards that they just couldn't stand. They fell down like dead men. I don't think they were dead. I think they were able to go and tell the scribes and Pharisees what was going on, but they were overwhelmed with God's presence. So what's Apostle Paul saying? He says that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Holy is a wide brush. It includes a lot of things. But it includes having something about God's presence that is powerful. Another place in the Old Testament is when they hauled the ark off. You remember that? The Philistines hauled the ark off and put it in their temple with their God. And what happened to that God the next morning? They went and found their God down on his face before the altar, didn't they? There was something about the presence of God that was represented by that ark. And there's something about the presence of God, the Apostle Paul says, it's what you need. It's reasonable for you to live in a manner that the presence of God would be something that exudes from you, your character. Doesn't mean that your face necessarily would shine like an angel's. Might be. But I believe he's talking about something that comes out of our personality and our character that causes others to recognize, as they recognized about the apostles, that we've been with Jesus. And we got something that we're living for. something that we've devoted ourselves to. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's a lot easier for us to describe the reaction to holiness than it is for us to describe holiness. So I'd like to look at the next verse. He says in verse 2, Romans 12, and be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. That is some of the more, that's a narrower brush than holiness. It's a narrower brush than acceptable unto God. So immediately, if somebody says, well, you can come to work, but you just have to do it like so-and-so would do it. What does that mean? That ought to be the first question out of our mouth. And when we say that we ought to live our life, be a living sacrifice to the Lord, and live it in a manner that's acceptable unto God, what does that mean? What does it mean today for me? So he said, and be not conformed to this world. So what is thinking about this morning is, what does it mean to be conformed to this world? And as I was meditating on how do you illustrate that, how do we talk about that? I was thinking about the forging process that's out there for metals, particularly steel, but it could be forged bronze or silver or something like that. And forging is a process where metal is shaped, not in a liquid form. It's one thing to melt something down till it pours and then pour it into a mold. But forging is when things are pushed, either by hammering, by stamping, or rolling into a shape. And the process creates some molecular changes. It causes heat to happen. But I was thinking of a video I seen of years ago, a film of a forging process on a particular component. And it was a piece of steel that was laid in a die, and a die was just something that had a particular shape in it that was different than the piece of steel that was put in. And this big stamping press began to stamp that metal. And every time that it came down, and when it came up, there was somebody with a shovel there throwing in some sawdust or something to keep it from sticking to the die. And you could see that piece of metal kind of bouncing around, and directly you could see it stamped it several times. I don't remember how many times, and directly you could start seeing the shape coming to it. And they picked that piece up with a piece of machinery and moved it to another die. And it, same process, and they stamped it there, and it, I can't remember how many progressive dies it was, and the piece that started out looked like just a straight piece of steel or iron. And what came out of that was something that looked almost like a finished product. There was machining that needed to be done, but it was definitely recognizable as what it should be. So I think about being conformed to anything. But he said, the Apostle Paul said, be not conformed to this world. You know, the world has a set of progressive dies for us. It'll hit you with something today, two or three times. Maybe all week. Maybe you've been hit with something all week long. And then next week, once you start to shape up a little bit, like the world wants us to shape, be shaped, he'll move it to the next die. How does people get so far from God? How do people get to the place that they're willing to call good evil and evil good in our society today? It's by the stamping of the progressive dies of the enemy. The Apostle Paul said, I'm beseeching you, it's your choice, it's our choice today, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, your everyday life. Live in a manner that the presence of God would begin to exude out of us. And he said, you do this by being not conformed to the world, to the forces around us. In Proverbs, the first chapter, a verse I've read to my children many times. I'll read it to you this morning for your consideration. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 1, verse 10 beginning. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Because what will they do? If sinners entice thee, they have something in mind that's not godly. It's the first set of dies. You know what I mean by a die? It's a thing that has a shape to it. And it's going to, if it's a mold. But it's not a mold that something liquid is poured into. It's a mold that will begin to, when you put pressure behind it, it begins to shape whatever's been put in the middle of it. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There's a lot of enticements out there. A lot of things that would intrigue us. Lord, help us all. And I'm included in the all. Lord, help us all to not be enticed by the sinners of this world. In verse 15, he says, my son, walk not. First it was enticed. Now he says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. So it's beyond an enticement. It's beyond a advertisement. It's beyond an opportunity. It's now don't walk in their path. Because that's the next step. One is to entice. The other is to walk in the walk that they walk. And then he says, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. That's down the path that they want to press you in. The enemy has so many things out there in this world to attract and distract us from living a life that's sacrificed for the Lord, a living sacrifice. Many areas in our world today, that's enticements, that we can be conformed to this world. And I want to end this morning with a verse in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, has a lot of one-liners in it, kind of like Proverbs does many times. But towards the end of the chapter, he just has a lot of last-minute thoughts. In verse 22, he said, this is written to the church at Thessalonica, a church that by and large was of had pagan background all around them. And it was not in Judea. It was not in the heart of, it wasn't the Bible Belt, if you will. He said to them, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, the appearance is one thing. Appearance is not real evil, is it? If it's just the appearance of evil, then it's not evil. You ever thought of it like that? It just kind of looks that way. The best way I know how to illustrate that is the fascination of a young child. I'm sure that this is not even available today because it's not would not follow in the guidelines of our society. Or at least I don't think it is. But there used to be candied cigarettes that was available when I was a boy. It was mostly just like sugar, like Sweet Tarts or something, but they were shaped like cigarettes and they were white and they had a little red end on them, like they was a lit cigarette. And you could pretend you was smoking, and there was a fascination with that. There's nothing wrong with solidified sugar in a stick, I guess, but it was the idea. And then they had, you know, gum that was in a roll that looked like a skull, a box of skull. You could carry it around in your pocket. Nothing wrong with chewing gum, best I can tell. Not sin, but there's an appearance there. And he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I know those are very simple little illustrations, but I ask the Lord to give us understanding today. What is it that the enemy wants to begin to shape us and to mold us with? What is it that he's wanting to conform us to ultimately? What does he want to put us in bondage to? What does he want to cause us to start down the path of feeling liberated in, and ultimately it becomes the thing that cost us our soul? The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's only the mercies of God that we have life and health and strength. It's only by the mercies of God that we're able to have a rational mind, to be able to comprehend what the Scriptures are talking about, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It made sense to the Apostle Paul. I hope it makes sense to you today. And he said, abstain, or he didn't say abstain, he said, and be not conformed to this world. He said in the other place, abstain from all appearance of evil. I desire your prayers. I feel the pressure. I feel the press. It's all around me. It infiltrates our life in so many ways. You can't search and find the things that you want to find without some kind of the worldly devices and advertisements being flashed into your life. You just can't do it. I don't know how to avoid it altogether. I know we can be victorious. I just know we can't avoid it all. So I desire your prayers for myself. I want to be victorious. I don't want to be like the scripture that says, talked about preaching to others and becoming a castaway ourselves. I don't want to be like that. I want to be able to come to the end and say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I want you to, too. I want you to make those choices today that you'll be willing and it'll be reasonable to you to live a life of sacrifice for the Lord. Yes, I'm avoiding the appearance of evil. I don't want it to look like I'm sympathetic with the devil. I don't want it to look like I'm entertaining something here that I shouldn't. You pray for me.